go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
You're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. In this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
We want to welcome those listeners who are joining us for the first time today. In our broadcast, we look at the Sacred Scripture, excerpts from the Catechism, the lives of our saints, and the teaching of the Church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America.
Today, we are concluding our series of broadcasts called Rebuilding Discipleship in the Catholic Parish. And we've been studying this ancient structure, Peter, and we believe now more than ever in our century, the call to become disciples has never been more needed. Isn't
Amen.
That right?
That is very true, Leslie.
Well, our theme verse is from Matthew 13:52, where Jesus said, "Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings out of his treasure things old and new." And indeed, discipleship is a treasure that we believe God is restoring to our Catholic Church.
Right. And to quote the Great Commission, Jesus told us, "Go therefore and make disciples," not just believers, not just the beginning state, but adherents called disciples.
And it includes all of us.
Amen. And we've been exploring this area in the life and structure of the church parish that needs to be recovered, renewed, and revived. And as we mentioned before, this is a top issue that's now being emphasized by the church among many of its thought leaders. In the last decade, we Catholics have been hearing this call to discipleship that is new to most of us, but very ancient in its origin. Two key instruments from the Lord have been Sherry Waddell in her groundbreaking book, Forming Intentional Disciples, and yes, our own Pope Francis, who introduced to us the idea of becoming missionary disciples.
Well, in our series, we've been presenting the seven pillars of Catholic discipleship, and we believe they are foundational to becoming a disciple, and so far, we've covered a lot of ground. We've covered six of those pillars, and the first pillar, just as a reminder, is encounter Jesus. Second, study and learn sacred scripture. Third, develop a life of prayer. The fourth pillar, regularly receive the sacraments of penance and Eucharist. The fifth pillar, discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gifts. And then finally, last week, we presented the sixth pillar, conduct spiritual warfare. And if you'd like to go back and hear all the podcasts in this series, just go to Catholic Radio Indy website and click on the podcast tab. It's right there, and it'll take you to our broadcast series, and you can catch up on this. Well, let's take a few minutes now, Peter, to share some of the key components from last week concerning this very important sixth pillar, conduct spiritual warfare.
Yes, so last week we learned how each of us is a part of the church militant. And we are called to engage in spiritual warfare with unseen forces that literally seek to destroy us. We also learned that Jesus becomes an example on how to wage these battles.
Well, Peter, what were some of the methods that Jesus used to deal with the evil one? We talked about that last week.
Yes, it's so assuring to look at what the Lord has accomplished for us in this area. First of all, it's critical to know what the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension did to Satan and his forces, Leslie. This is foundational. Satan's authority and power are limited and subordinate to the authority that is vested in Jesus Christ. Christ right now is the king of this earth. His kingdom is invisible, and not everybody acknowledges it. Also, Satan's power is restricted, limited, and temporal.
Our listeners really need to hear that.
That's an exclamation point. What has happened briefly is this. The power and authority of Satan has been dealt a fatal blow by Jesus Christ. The cross, the incarnation, the resurrection, and the ascension destroyed any power or authority that Satan enjoyed, but it did not annihilate him. That'll come later when Jesus completes his work of redemption with the consummation of his kingdom. All things will be brought into captivity to him, and every knee will bow to him, including the fallen angels who bow in submission to his authority. Paul told us that in Philippians chapter 2, that every knee in heaven, earth, and under the earth even will bow to the name of Jesus Christ.
And that will be a wonderful, great day.
Yes. Secondly, Jesus becomes our example as we face temptation in our personal deserts. And this was commented on by Pope Benedict XVI. He was commenting on the temptation of Christ in the desert, and he said in his Sunday Angelus address, "Man is never wholly free from temptation, but with patience and true humility, we become stronger than any enemy." He said the patience and humility required to defeat the enemy come by following Christ, I like this, every day, and from learning to build our life not outside of him as if he did not exist, but in him and with him, because he is the source of life.
Well, I think it is reassuring to know that Jesus has defeated the forces of evil through his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. I think that's very important. But we also know that Satan has not been annihilated. This will not happen until the end of time. And like Pope Benedict said, we're not free of temptation right now. Satan comes to us as a liar, a deceiver, and one of the ways he tries to trip us up is in our minds, in our thoughts. And last week, we talked about this a little bit, how we can resist him in our minds.
Yes, and this is so true. We've all had the experience of dark thoughts or demonic thoughts that just pop in our minds out of nowhere. Like sometimes I say, where did that come from? Well, St. Paul taught us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, that we could take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. This simply means to take control over these thoughts and bring them to the Lord through prayer and replace them with God's thoughts, especially the scriptures. The mind is such a fertile playground for Satan if we allow free access to our thinking.
So we as his disciples really need to win that battle in our minds, but we also learned from Jesus' example in the wilderness what to do when the enemy tempts us in other areas.
Yes, we learned exactly what the enemy's schemes are and in the areas in which he attacks. He tempted our Lord in three specific areas: the desires of the flesh, the world, and the devil himself. Abusing pleasures, lusting for power, and loving wealth and false worship were offered to the Lord, and these realms are the places of Satan's schemes. Yet Jesus, on our behalf, resisted the devil by applying the scripture to each temptation. And this is the only language, Leslie, that the devil cannot undo. Scripture is the language that strips him of power in these enticements. And if we approach him with human thoughts only, he'll undo us. If we take the approach towards evil that says, if you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone, Satan will crush us.
Okay, that's all really good stuff, and it's time now to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to discuss that seventh pillar of Catholic discipleship, Go and Share Your Faith. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Do you like game shows? How about trivia? You're listening to Catholic Radio, so I assume you're interested in the Catholic Church. Catholic Challenge 2.0 is the newest addition to our programming lineup here on Catholic Radio Indy. A 30-minute quiz show covering almost everything Catholic. Catholic Challenge 2.0 tests your knowledge and teaches at the same time. Check it out every Thursday afternoon at 4:30 right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Is life overcoming you?
Or are you overcoming life?
Because that's what we're here to help you do. Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we are discussing our current series of broadcasts, Rebuilding Discipleship in the Catholic Parish. We believe there are seven pillars that are foundational to becoming a Catholic disciple, and today we're going to discuss the seventh and final pillar. That as a Catholic disciple, we must go and share our faith. Peter, where do we begin to unpack this seventh pillar, and why is this one so important for Catholic discipleship?
Yes, so this pillar becomes the mandate to give away what God has done for us and has given to us. And I love this scripture, Leslie, that I had insight to a couple years ago, where in Romans 1, 11 through 14, Paul identifies himself before the Lord as a debtor, one who is in debt. He said he was in debt because of the work of salvation that Jesus accomplished through the Paschal mystery. And secondly, because of the time, talent, and treasure that the Lord had given him. He said, I'm a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, and to the wise and to the foolish. So a Christian disciple is in debt. He's a debtor. He and she are debtors. And the way we pay this debt off is to go and share our faith with others and therefore bear fruit. In that context of the verse that I mentioned, St. Paul was focused on bearing fruit for the Lord. And with this pillar of Catholic discipleship, the focus is now outward. We're all called to go. Two scriptures say it all, Leslie. First of all, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. That's John 15, verse 16. And also in John 15, 8, in that same chapter, Jesus said, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Therefore, the proof of our discipleship, according to Jesus, is that the Lord looks for in our lives is that we go and bear fruit. It's, of course, obvious that evangelizing is a key part to this bearing fruit. In the past, Leslie and I have spent several radio broadcasts laying out and describing what Catholic evangelization looks like. Going and sharing our faith is broad and deep and involves going to family and friends, neighbors, church, parish, and the culture at large, wherever the Holy Spirit will send us. And it's a huge field of labor that each of us is called to discover, Leslie.
So, Peter, what I'm hearing is that the capstone of becoming a Catholic disciple is that we go, that we become a person on mission. And when we're open to go, the Holy Spirit will send us to the places where we are to bear fruit and so prove to be true disciples of Jesus. And the places that he sends us can start right here in our backyard. We don't have to go across the world. It can start with family members. It can be members of our parish, the needy that comes across our path, our neighbors, our co-workers, and the unsaved.
That's right. And we can start our day like that, Leslie. We can wake up in the morning, and out of our initial morning prayers, we can say, Lord, help me to go today. And show me who I'm to go to. So the idea of bearing fruit unto eternal life is so important that in the book of Philippians, St. Paul was in his first imprisonment. And he was telling the Philippians that he wasn't sure if he was going to die at this point or if he was going to remain on in this life. But while he was wrestling with those two choices, Leslie, he concluded that he was not to depart yet so that he could be more fruitful and have fruitful labor among those Philippians. So to bear fruit as a disciple of Jesus, that was the driving force that kept him on mission. St. Paul, and again, he mentioned it in that scripture earlier when he said he was a debtor to bear fruit to the Lord.
Well, it's clear that in order to bear fruit, this involves sharing our faith, which is the seventh pillar of discipleship. And in this series, we've been focusing on the certainty that the Lord did not place us in his kingdom without a clear call discipleship for each and every one of us. And when we answer that call to become a disciple, which we all know is a process reflected in the seven pillars that we've been talking about, then the Lord sends us to the places of His choosing. Now, someone said to me in my early years as a Christian disciple, the only ability that the Lord requires of us is availability.
I love that thought. That's a good thought to meditate on too, is am I available? However, though, there is a very important requirement to go and share our faith. We must be ready, and we also must prepare. And there's two great scriptural ideas that talk about our call to be ready and to prepare, Leslie. First of all, in 1 Peter 3:15, it says this, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready." Okay? To make a defense.
And underline that, always being ready.
Right. To make a defense to everyone who asks us to give an account for the hope that lies within us, but with gentleness and respect. That's so important. So we're not to hit them over the head with salvation, but we're to share our faith with gentleness and respect. And then secondly, in the context of spiritual warfare that we spoke of last week, one of the parts of our armor are our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:15 says, "And having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace." So there's a preparation that goes into shodding our feet and going out into the Lord's vineyard. At the conclusion...
Well, what about the catechism, though, Peter?
Oh, so the catechism, that's really important, too. Then winning converts should be a constant concern for all Catholics, the catechism points out. And this is a beautiful paragraph, Leslie. It's paragraph 905. It says, "The true apostle is on the lookout for occasions of announcing Christ by word, either to unbelievers or to the faithful. How then should we go about it? God pours out His saving grace in many ways, but He normally requires, and we could say He even desires, that willing collaboration of His sons and daughters in that joyful task." I love the concept of the catechism here, Leslie, where it says, be on the lookout. And what does that mean to be on the lookout? And we've always interpreted that is that the Lord provides open doors for us, and that we're looking for the open door where we can share our faith. And we've said over the years, and we've shared this before, that we see three ways that the Lord opens up doors for us as Catholic believers.
And we've just learned this through experience.
Yes. Number one, we call it a divine appointment. That's when somebody literally says to us, what is the reason for your hope, as spoken of in 1 Peter 3:15? Why is it that you are this way? Or why have you had success in your marriage? Or why are your children going to Mass? It's an opportunity for us to give that hope. Secondly, human predicaments. A lot of times the second door will be in our relationship networks. There are people that have injuries, they get sick, they have a human trauma, and it's an opportunity for us to share our faith. And then finally, we call it the power of one. Those are people that we build friendships with and relationships over the years, waiting for the Lord to open up that opportunity to share this precious faith.
Well, I'm always excited to look for that open door. But listeners, please stay with us now, because we're going to take another short break. And when we return, we will learn how we can practically go share our faith and become fruit bearers in the vineyard of the Lord.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
At Catholic Radio, we love to hear from you. Call us anytime. Just recently, we found this message on our voicemail.
I'm a non-Catholic that listens to your Catholic radio station, and I just wanted to thank you guys. I listen to Catholic Answers and Al Cresta sometimes, and I think her name's Teresa Tomio. I listen to her and another show or two. I appreciate it.
Call us at 317-870-8400 and let us know what you're thinking.
I just called to say, you know, I'm not a Catholic. I listen to your station.
Welcome back to today's broadcast. We're sharing today the seventh pillar of Catholic discipleship, Go and share your faith. In our last segment, we learned how each of us, like St. Paul, has a debt to pay. And that debt is the obligation we have as Catholic disciples to go and bear fruit in the Lord's vineyard. Peter, talk to us about what it means to have this kind of lifestyle focused on mission and bearing fruit.
Thank you, Leslie. I want to suggest some steps each of us as Catholic evangelizers can take to ensure that as we share our faith, we are bearing fruit as the scripture directs us unto eternal life. Number one, we are stewards or caretakers of three commodities or resources that Jesus Christ has placed in our lives. And we refer to them often as time, talent, and treasure.
Well, we've probably heard that a lot in our parishes, right?
And yes, we have. But when we go through the discipleship process, this is formed by our seven pillars that we've been talking about. We begin to see that our time becomes His time. Our talents, that is our charisms that we talked about here in this broadcast, and our natural abilities as well, become His talents. And our treasure, that is our material resources, are His treasure. This is an indication that we're being transformed from a Catholic believer into a Catholic disciple.
Well, that makes me think a little bit differently about my time, talent, and treasure.
Amen. Secondly, every one of us, and this is so important, has an hourglass. What do I mean by that? We do not know how much sand is in our hourglass, do we? Only the Lord does. Remember, St. Paul was contemplating his hourglass that I mentioned earlier when he wrote to the Philippians, and he said, he didn't know if he was going to die at that point or if he was going to live on to bear fruit with the Philippians. So
right.
Let's reflect on that. Mm-hmm. As all Catholic brothers and sisters, that we each have an hourglass, and we need to take the most of every day and make use of it.
Right. Our times are in the hands of the Lord.
Amen. Thirdly, to go means to become a missionary disciple and become a missional church. To be, as Leslie mentioned earlier, to be on mission. To move towards this missional mentality is no less than a complete and thorough 180 for many of us in our Catholic parishes and in our Catholic families as individuals as we look to become more outward in our focus. Fourthly, the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy, and I think this is so great that we have these articulated to us. They're guideposts for us, leading us to practical ways to share our faith and to bear fruit.
Yeah, Peter, I was thinking about this, so that the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, how they're actions that we can perform on mission that extend God's mercy, the kingdom, and help us to bear fruit. Now, who did the Lord have in mind when it came to the needy and the focus of our corporal and spiritual works?
Well, I think it's great, and we can remind ourselves of these works of mercy. The corporal works of mercy are feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned, and bury the dead. And then the spiritual works of mercy, Leslie, we don't talk quite as much about, but they're instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, admonish the sinner, bear wrongs patiently, forgive offenses willingly, comfort the afflicted, pray for the living and the dead. Our fifth and last point that we're making here is bearing fruit demands that we take our own cross and actively share our faith. Jesus said in Luke 14:27, what does it mean to carry our cross? I believe the cross is where our will crosses His will. That bearing fruit is not based, definitely, when we talk about these works of mercy, they're not based on convenience and comfort. We'll always be asked to sacrifice, and we'll know that we're bearing fruit because there's always a sacrifice to it of our time, our treasure, and our talent, all three of those that we've been talking about. Leslie, could you share a little bit with our listening audience a special time at the O'Connor House that's an example of our seventh pillar today?
Well, I think it's important that you think about looking for the needy and really be intentional about reaching out for the needy. And I had the opportunity, Peter and I both had the opportunity to volunteer at the O'Connor House, which is right in our backyard. It's a home for single pregnant women who are homeless. And some of them have other small children under the age of 5. And we went to the O'Connor House and presented the Alpha Series, which involved an 8-week series on site with the residents, where they had the opportunity to ask the big questions of life. It gave the women a forum to share their faith and their experiences and to ask questions. Nothing was off limits. They could talk about anything. Well, during that time, we had many opportunities to share our faith, our personal experiences with God, and see His redemptive power at work in their lives. And these women so much need the Lord. They were facing so many barriers to breaking the cycle of poverty, and they needed the Lord's mercy and redemptive power released in their lives. So you just have to have your antenna up and look for these opportunities, because they are out there.
Yeah, thanks for that, Leslie. That certainly was a time that we felt we were right in the middle of the Lord's vineyard. So as we conclude today's broadcast, I think it'd be valuable to share this analogy. If you had the cure for a disease, would you keep it to yourself, or would you want to share it with others? How much more should we be motivated to share this life-giving faith that the Lord has given to us? We have the cure that brings salvation, healing, and redemption. Why should we want to keep it to ourselves? And Leslie, I want to make a point here that as we put together this broadcast, the Holy Spirit was really doing some surgery in my own heart that I feel that He's calling you and I anew to make these priorities front and center in our walk on a daily basis.
Well, Peter, could you take a moment now to pray for us and our listeners that we could be a people that embrace discipleship and go on mission?
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, over these things that we have shared today, we say, come, Holy Spirit, come and take a fresh residence in our hearts. Lord, please give us a love for Jesus Christ. Please give us a love for the gospel. And please give us a fresh boldness to share our faith with others. As we've talked about open doors, we pray that you would open up doors for all of us that are listening today, for Leslie and me as well. And we would pray, Lord, to you that you would give us the compassion that you modeled for us as you gave us your example to follow. Lord Jesus, we ask this in your name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Well, thank you again, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and your parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.